Orville Freestone Jr. Sunday School, October 21st, 2012.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And I think that every person who calls himself Pentecostal can probably recite the first four verses of this chapter from heart. But let's read it now. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There are a number of things we should observe concerning these four verses. First, the word Pentecost. This is the name in our Bible for that third feast of the Jews, but they didn't call it Pentecost. The Hebrew word for it is Shavuot, which means weeks. They call it the Feast of Weeks, because Moses said, you shall number seven Sabbaths, and the day following the Sabbath should be the feast, and that's why they call it the Feast of Weeks, because it's 7 weeks plus one day after Passover. We get the word Pentecost from the Septuagint, which was the first translation of the Hebrew Scriptures into another language. It was translated into Greek about 200 BC, and it is the version that the apostles and Paul used in the New Testament writings. The Greeks used the word Pentecost in the Septuagint for this great feast because in Greek, Pentecost means 50th. So it was the 50th day after Passover that this feast was to be placed. So the Jews call it the Feast of Weeks. In the Septuagint, it's the 50th day after Passover. And when the Feast of Pentecost was fully come, Luke is a very accurate writer. And sometimes the way he expresses things can tell us a lot. The Pentecostal season, or the week, season of Shavuot, or of weeks, was a time of gladness. Passover was celebrated, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which followed it immediately, was in celebration of the barley harvest. The first harvest passed the ending of the winter rains. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, was the celebration of the wheat harvest. So it was a harvest festival in that day. And it was a season as well as a day. Just like Christmas is a season for us, and it is a day. All the whole December has been called the Christmas season. So when in the season of Pentecost, the day itself had finally come. They were all with one accord in one place in response to Jesus' admonition in the first chapter and being assembled together in the fourth verse of the first chapter, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise. And the second thing that we say about this is this first verse of the second chapter, that they should wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, you have heard of me. And we read of this promise in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. And so turning to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and verse 16, we read in the 15th verse, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. So this was the promise of the Father that Jesus mentioned in the first chapter of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And in Mark 2 and 3, in Matthew 2 and 3, we read, in chapter 4 of Matthew, no, that's not it either, in this third chapter, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this he is he that hath spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And the same John had his raiment, camel's hair, and a leather girdle, and about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And with him went out all Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region of Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And let's turn over to Mark, and it's a little more clear. In Mark, and John baptized in the wilderness in the first chapter of Mark, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And this is John's promise of the baptizing, and he would baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And here we see the wind and the fire, which was on this one time only. There are four other times in the book of Acts where it is described of people receiving the Holy Spirit when he came upon them or fell upon them, or when he came upon them for the first time. But there was no fire and no wind in those times. This was the baptism of fire, which was prophesied and which Jesus said they would come upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, that is, foreign languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is the sign that was repeated, and in two other places it is stated it was, and another two places it is implied that this was the phenomenon that accompanied the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them. And then in the Mark 16, in the last chapter of Mark, we read Mark 16 and 17. And this is when Jesus met the two disciples on as they were walking on the way to Emmaus. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another?" And that's in Luke. I was careless in writing down my scriptures this morning. Mark 16 and 17, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." This is the commission Jesus gave to them. "And he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So these were signs that did follow this, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So John said that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And in Joel 2 and 28, the prophet Joel, we read the Old Testament prophecy of this. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So these were signs that should follow the coming of the Holy Spirit. We shall consider this prophecy in Joel a little later in this second chapter in Peter's sermon, and how that related to this phenomenon of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read that, that's a different scripture, but Paul wrote to them, I believe it's in Ephesians, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." So in the Acts here, we have an event that was perhaps one of the greatest events in the history of the Bible. The ending of the old creation, Old Testament time, the old covenant, with the crucifixion of Jesus and the coming of a new era of the church at Pentecost, when we were all baptized into one Spirit. Pentecostal people frequently say, "When I received my baptism," meaning when they were filled with the Spirit. But Paul said there's only one baptism, and that was on the day of Pentecost. That was the beginning of the body of the church. But as we'll see a little later in this chapter, the gift of the Spirit that Jesus spoke of in John was not a one-time event. It was promised to all believers. And so here we have both the baptism of fire, which was never repeated, and we have the filling of the Spirit with individuals, which was repeated, and there is no indication in the New Testament that it ever would come to an end, as many have claimed that it has. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now this was one of the three great feasts of the Jewish year, when any Jew who could afford to, no matter where he lived in the known world of that day, he would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. One was for the feast of the Passover, then for the feast of Pentecost, and then for the feast of for the fast of the Day of Atonement. So Jerusalem was filled at these times of festival with many times the population of the city. People, Jews from all over the known world, would converge upon Jerusalem at this time. And there were dwelling, that is, they were come for the to stay for the feast, which and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, and the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya, and in Cyrene, and strangers out of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in other tongues the wonderful works of God. These were all of the countries of the known world at that time. There were faint knowledge of people beyond them in India or China or in the northern part of Europe and Asia. But this is what was considered the civilized world in that day. The Parthians were the Persians in what is now Iran. The Medes, the descendants of the Medes today are the Kurds in northern Iraq and in Iran. And the Elamites was a nation that in what is part of Persia today, but it is on the Gulf of Persian Gulf, opposite of Arabia. And Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, that is the land between the rivers where Babylon had been and where the other empires had risen who persecuted the Jews, dwellers in Mesopotamia, in which is today Iraq, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and in Pontus in Asia, which was in what is today Western Turkey. All of these lands constituted the Eastern dispersion of the Jews. When the Babylonians destroyed Judea and Jerusalem and took them captive, they took them to Babylon and to areas throughout what is today Iraq, then was called Mesopotamia. And those Jews of the Eastern dispersion had one common language in addition to the local language, and that was Aramaic. And the Jews in Judea also had spoke Aramaic, which is a language very close to Hebrew and also a relative of Arabian tongue. Then the remaining ones here in Egypt and in Libya and in Cyrene, which is today we would call it Tripoli or the lands west of Libya, and strangers from Rome in Europe, Jews and proselytes, and Cretes, that was in Greece, and Arabians, that was to the south of them. These all constituted the Western dispersion of the Jews, and it was the cause of the Western dispersion was the Greek persecution of the Jews and the spread of Jews throughout the Greek Empire and then the Romans Empire, and where all the Jews were dispersed throughout Rome. And every city where Paul went, any major city, he found Jews in the Western or Roman Empire, and they became the beginning of the Christian communities in those countries, and their main language was Greek. And even in Italy, in Paul's day, Greek was more commonly spoken in Rome than Latin was. So there were these two great divisions in world Jewry, the Eastern and the Western. Those who spoke Aramaic, which is called the Hebrew tongue in the New Testament, and those who spoke Greek, those who used the Aramaic forms of the Old Testament, because none of them commonly spoke the Old Hebrew anymore, and those who used the Greek form of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. Now, this is going to be very important to remember when we get to the seventh chapter of the Acts, because these two great dispersions of the Jews were very different. And in the East, they all of the Jews throughout both dispersions built synagogues as their places of local worship. But in the East, they had what they called rabbis, who were very learned in the Hebrew and who wrote commentaries in Aramaic. In the West, in the Greek-speaking world, they did not have rabbis in the New Testament times, and they were more open to the gospel than the Jews in the Eastern dispersion. In the 15th chapter of the Acts, we will find that the apostles gathering together with the elders in Jerusalem agreed that Peter would take the gospel to the circumcision, to the Jews. Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles. And they would go their different ways as God had commissioned them to do. And in one of Peter's letters, he addresses them from Babylon. That is where Babylon, the city of Babylon, had once stood, and there was a large Jewish population there. And that was the head of the Eastern dispersion. And he addressed his letters to the Jews in Cappadocia, in Bithynia. Those were northern provinces in eastern Turkey, a part of the Eastern dispersion. And Paul went to the west, and he saw preached the gospel first to the Jews in every city he went to in the west. And it was only later that the Western Jewry accepted Rabbinic Judaism. Rabbinic Judaism was very hostile to the gospel. That's one reason why so many Jews in the West were open to the gospel, because they did not at that time have a form of Rabbinic Judaism. So these were all of the peoples, East and West, who were gathered together in Jerusalem for this great feast, and they were all astounded by what had happened here. And there were those who were amazed, there were others who were in doubt, and there were others who mocked. And incidentally, in the Pentecostal revival of the 20th century, there are all of these people present, those who were amazed and those who were doubting and those who were mocking. And then we have Peter's great sermon. We probably don't have time to finish this, but let's go on and read Peter's great Pentecostal sermon, or at least a part of it. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Now, we read that the disciples were to be witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So here they began their witnessing in Jerusalem. "Be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day," that is, 9 o'clock in the morning. Only alcoholics start drinking their breakfast. This was 9 o'clock in the morning, and he said, "They are not drunken, but this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now let us turn over to that second chapter of Joel, beginning with verse 28. In verse 27, Joel, speaking of that day, says, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, and the Lord hath said, and in the remnant who call, whom the Lord shall call. And so Peter here quoted from the Septuagint version, and that's why it is a little different from what Joel said. But notice that Peter in verse 16 of chapter 2 said, "This is that." He did not say, "This is the fulfillment of that scripture," because the fulfillment of this scripture will only be performed after that great and terrible day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord did not follow Pentecost. So this is not the fulfillment of that scripture, but this is that same kind of thing that Joel was talking about. This is not new. In the Old Testament it was prophesied. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servant and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days my Spirit, saith, and they shall prophesy." And that far, that described the day of Pentecost. This will be fulfilled again after that great and terrible day of the Lord, when the kingdom of heaven shall come to earth in fullness, when the Lord shall be known as the King, and all nations shall give glory unto Jerusalem. Before that time, there will be these wonders in heaven above and in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be darkened, the moon turned to blood, at the time of that great and notable day of the Lord. But this is that same thing that was prophesied in the Old Testament. The objection has been brought against Pentecostal movement that on the day of Pentecost, these were known tongues and understood by foreigners. But today, that's not the case. Well, in the first place, Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians of the tongues of men and of angels. So Paul did not restrict it to known tongues, but it did continue in known tongues. In the early days of Pentecost, there are many accounts of people who have heard people speaking in tongues, recognized their own native tongue, which was not English. And we had one such situation in this assembly, as I think some of you will remember, when the Dorsharns lived here, and Rick brought his father with him, who had come to visit him from California, and one of the brothers gave a message in tongues and then interpreted it, and later Rick's father says, "You know, I understood what he was saying." Rick says, "Oh, you did?" He says, "Yes." He said, "As you know, I speak Italian. Well, he was speaking Romanish." or Romance, which was one of the minor languages of Switzerland. And he says, Romanish is halfway between Latin and Italian. And I understood what almost every word that he said. And Rick said, well, Dad, what did he say? He says, son, he told you what he said in the interpretation. So the Holy Spirit is not limited. And he moves as he will and as he pleases. And we were all baptized into one body on the day of Pentecost. That was the baptism of fire of which John spoke. And we were all baptized into one body, the church. But as we shall see later on in Peter's sermon, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, meaning the Gentiles, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Has the Lord called you?